Good morning, everyone. It's very good to be back here. I think many of you know that I've been gone for the better part of August, and for one reason or another. This last week, I did a week of seclusion up at Ananda Village, and it's always hard to leave seclusion. It's always hard to imagine coming back to the world, been hiding out in some little cave. But, and very much like the reading that Greg did this morning, take away all earthly sounds. I want to hear only your voice, and boy, it's a lot easier when you're in a tiny little place and there are no sounds. Trying to do it here is the problem. Or the challenge, I should say, not the problem. But driving home last night, I just want to share this with all of you. I felt such an extraordinary blessing coming my way that this is what I get to come home to. I realized, and it's very meaningful for our talk today, as we look at this topic of ego transcendence, which is really, Swami titled this ego friend or foe, but the real answer, of course, is both. And what are we going to do about that? And what does that path look like? Just what a blessing it is to be able to transition from seclusion, where when it goes well, it's just you and the divine. There are no other voices. You really only have yourself. So you get to do a particular type of introspection, and it's just God with you. So there's no, if you can get out of your own mind, of course, no judgment, no wonder, just this extraordinary ease day after day of knowing that these huge pictures of the masters that are on the wall, wherever you are just looking at you with such pure love, just absolute unconditional love and devotion, and wanting you to be your very best and have your very best. And then I was driving down Route 80, and I have to say, I'm saying this thoughtfully, I have never seen that much traffic in my life, ever. Fortunately, it was all going the other way. And I was saying to myself, I don't know where they're going. I couldn't think of a place in the world that could handle that many people. From Auburn to home, 5 lines of packed traffic and 113 degrees in the midst of it. And I thought, you're going home. You're going back to this amazing community that's going to support everything you've just been searching for. You don't have to close your heart. You don't have to protect yourself. You don't have to take care. We get to come back to this. Not long after I walked into the community, I went outside and 2 very dear friends were walking in, and one of them very sensitively said, you don't have to talk to us if you don't want to. But I said, no, I'm fine to talk. Knowing that the energy that would flow through them, each of them, would only support where I was. So that's the joy of all of this. And as I hope I come back around to saying, very much what we need on this path, which we would think could be very simple, but in fact is extremely challenging and extremely arduous. So we need to take seclusion. We need to go into those moments where we can hear the truth, know the truth in ways that are extremely challenging in the midst of these busy lives, even if what we're busy doing is serving most of the time, which really all of us are in some way or another. Many of us are doing it in this wonderful community. But even still, nothing like that extraordinary silence, and then being able to come home to more truth. The seclusion itself is so important. There are many, many things that came to me. Maybe I'll have an opportunity to share some of them. But one of the things, I spent a lot of time listening to Swamiji give talks and to many of the light bearers around the world giving Sunday services. I listened to Sunday services as old as they were and as new as they were on all different topics. And because this topic today of ego transcendence is our spiritual path. This is the whole of the spiritual path. It's the whole of the purpose of life. It's all we're doing is finding ways to transcend the ego, to use it wisely, well, at first, and then transcend it when it starts getting in our way. And I thought, this topic tomorrow is so beautiful. It's the essence of the path. But as I was listening to the talks, I realized that every one of these Sunday services, every one of them, plants a different seed in us in which can blossom the whole of this path. There's such extraordinary inspiration in everyone that says, just follow this reading beginning to end, go as deep with it as you can, and you'll find your way along this path. So I'm saying that to say we don't actually have to be in seclusion to take 20 minutes a day and listen to a Sunday service from somewhere. I wanted to plant that seed. This topic of ego, friend or foe, is, as I said, really a beautiful topic because the answer is both, and because it's really about ego transcendence. It's about working with the ego at first and then knowing and being willing to put in the energy that we need to put in to let it go when it's time to move on. You know, Yogananda has told us that the ego is the soul identified with the body. So the ego is born in each of us. We couldn't live without an ego. So there's no question about whether we need the ego or not. It is the essence of our existence. It's not separate from us. That soul has come through many lower forms of life. Lower means forms without consciousness. Well, every form of life has consciousness. Let me not say that because they're made of consciousness. But without self-consciousness, without self-awareness. So we've come through 5 to 10 million lives, the saints tell us, of being what? Stones and crystals and plants and worms and butterflies. And we just keep evolving until we get to this place of being given the gift of a human life. And with that gift, finally, after living all of those forms without self-consciousness, comes self-consciousness. And comes then the ability to be aware. Is there anything to do about this, or are we trying our hardest? I guess we're trying. Okay. Sinavashan, great. I'll just keep talking like it's not happening. So with this birth comes this ego. Now, at the beginning of our human lives, and of course we all know also we'll go through many of them as we evolve, but at the beginning of these human lives, it's a rather limited form, state. It's a contracted state. It's awareness of this body only, of this personality only. Many of us come back each time, and we start as little children that way. until we evolve through this lifetime, hopefully, through and out of some of that. But that's the beginning of ego consciousness, of ego awareness. It is also the beginning of what gives us the incentive to grow, of what gives us the incentive or the awareness to say, well, I've tried this many times to find happiness. That's not working. I've tried all the different ways I can think of for pleasure. It's not helping me find even happiness, never mind bliss. But at the early stage of our human lifetimes, maybe we're not even aware of bliss. Jyotish, many years ago, used an example of a funnel. And it's a perfect image, so I'd like to use it today. When we first come in, we are contracted, we are separate, we are only aware of ourselves. It's a very narrow existence, it's a very unstable existence, and it's unsatisfying. You think of a funnel. If you tried to put it down on that narrowest end, what would happen? It's impossible. It has no stability. That's what pure ego is like. It's always looking for ways to make itself stable, but it can't quite get it together. It can never bring the circumstances of life into alignment such that it feels stable. It doesn't. We're always unaware. This isn't right. That's not right. This is a little off. We can't get what we think we need from that place of separateness. This world, this universe, it's not designed to give us that. But fortunately for us, the way to the top of the tunnel is a continuum. We always have a little bit of both, ego consciousness, and we're aiming for that soul consciousness. When we get to that place where we want for nothing outside of ourselves, because we are everything, we already have everything, and we know it. But we have to get to a human birth. We have to get to the place of having an ego to begin to feel that desire. And with that ego comes this place of self-consciousness. A few weeks ago, one of the places I went this month was to meet a new grandson in Maryland who has a 3.5-year-old older sister. And I was sitting there with the children's father, and we were watching the 3.5-year-old. She was drawing pictures and writing letters to Barry and I, but she was constantly stopping and saying to Barry, look, Pop-Pop, is this good? Do you like this, Pop-Pop? Then she'd come over to me, do you like this, Shanti? Is it good? And all of a sudden, I looked at her father, who had a tear coming down his eye, and he looked at me. He said, she's beginning to pick this up in school. And he just said to me, the end of innocence. It just brought tears to his eyes. And really, what he was saying, though I just allowed him that moment quietly, is he was saying, she's developing a sense of self-consciousness where we become aware of everybody and everything, and we begin to hold ourselves up in juxtaposition to all of what's out there. And all of us, even us in our own ways, are more often than we would like to think asking that same question. Is this good enough? Am I doing enough? Will people like me? Will they be pleased? You know, in the reading from last week, where Swami's talking about this idea of ego, but he says the ego presents itself in the mind, in the intellect, and in the senses. And that's the beginning of what we're seeing. And it's so much more subtle in the mind. It's not with the senses. We can see greediness. We can see wanting to have things, trying to accumulate more wealth, wanting a better position, a bigger home, the next partner, that all the things we want for our children. It's obvious to see that. It's less obvious when we're walking around saying, am I good enough? Do they like me? Do they think I'm the best doctor around here? And then that little, what would I have to do to have them think that? That's what happens when we're right at the bottom of the funnel. But as we continue, and it takes a human birth to make this possible, because it's only with the human birth that we develop free will, that we develop the opportunity to say, do I want to keep living like this? That we have the opportunity to make a choice every moment of our lives as we're sitting in this funnel. Am I going to slip back down there and to be in that really tight, constricted, unstable, impossible to satisfy place? Or am I going to keep aiming for that light that I see coming from above? It's the first time we have the opportunity. It's the first time that we have that free will and that kind of a sense of self. I recently heard again a very adorable story that Swamiji told. When Swamiji was a little boy, he had a dog whose name was Jasper. Maybe some of you have heard this story. He tells the story that Jasper was the laziest dog he'd ever met in his life. Jasper didn't want to walk, he didn't want to go anywhere, he was always sleeping under a table. But one day, Swamiji's brother had Jasper out for a walk, probably dragging him from what Swamiji said. This was in Romania, and the dog catchers came. And they decided that they saw this little boy with this dog, that they could steal the dog and then go to the family and basically bribe them for money to get Jasper back. But Swamiji's brother, so they went at the dog with a stick and, you know, this actually really used to happen, you know, one of those baskets. But Swamiji's brother grabbed the stick and he goes, run, Jasper, run. And Jasper took off like crazy down the sidewalk. He finds the first bush he can get into and he hides. And the dog catchers who took off after him go running, miss him, go way beyond them. Jasper waits when he knows it's safe. He goes trotting home. I'm telling you this because we always hear that human birth is the first time that we have such self-awareness, that we have an ego. But Swamiji said, for weeks after that, this story was being told in their home. And he said, every time somebody would say, and then my brother said, run, Jasper, run, and he took off and he hid. Jasper would be hiding under the table, but he'd go, ha, 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 ha. So clearly they have some awareness that we don't know about. There is evolution going on. But we have this great opportunity in this human life. And one might think, Swamiji speaks about this very clearly in the Raja Yoga book, you would think, great, here we are. We have free will. We have awareness. We should just be able to make it to the top like that. But it's not that easy. It doesn't happen like that for many, many reasons. In our earlier human lives, we're not even aware enough to think that we want something else. And we all see people like that. It's not to make disparaging comments or to be critical of them, because they're just living out their karma. I mean, we're all just living out our karma. You know, every time I go to make a comment about where somebody else might be on their path, I just hear Swamiji's voice saying, you're going to make it sometime or other. Why not now? And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm doing the best I can. But it looks so easy from here. But there are people who just don't want anything else. They just feel like, hey, this is life. This is pretty good. Whatever it is, sitting at home every night, watching television, having a few beers, partying every once in a while, or living like most of us live, having good health, nice house, enough food. We just think, and it happens, because evolution is not a straight line. It is tricky. It is very arduous. But we have these egos, and they don't let us go. And our job is to begin to understand when we've moved in that place, in this, on this path. I'm doing like this is an ascent. It's not really that way, but that's the way the funnel is. But down this path where we, something keeps saying to us, I don't want to hear any more earthly sounds. This is not working for me. Or as Tandava so beautifully said, he just turned that song inside out for this reading. Go on. No matter what, keep moving forward. Keep expanding. And we've been given the opportunity to do that. And then to say to ourselves, now I see the ego has a hold on me. Now I see this ego is no longer only that force that is driving me forward, that is saying, I want more. I want to know inner peace. When am I going to get that I can't make it happen out there? It's all in here. And we say to that ego more and more often, like Jesus does in the oratorio, get thee behind me. We say, no. I just read this amazing book while I was traveling. It's a book about a young Italian man who at the age of 16 was called upon by his family and his priests to work with the resistance in Milan as the Nazis were coming in. And it's a completely true story. And he wrote the book. He had somebody else write the book, but he told him all these stories. So, but, and I don't want to go into the book. It's one of those hard to read, but unbelievably inspiring books. But his first job was to take Jewish people who were being hidden at the top of one of the mountains in a church over a pass to get them into Switzerland. And there was a whole system set up, but you can imagine it wasn't easy. Wasn't easy in the best of weather, wasn't easy with the Gestapo constantly watching and all of their spies, and it was really hard in the winter. And he's describing this one winter scene where he's taking more people than he ever had. And the story doesn't really matter, but at some point, he felt himself frozen with fear, just frozen. And it was about a woman who he was taking. She was pregnant, and her husband had just been taken to Auschwitz. And she was a violinist, very well known in Milan, violinist, and she was holding her Stradivarius, but she was not physically conditioned. And he started thinking, because he was helping her literally every step of the way, but what if she dies, and then her baby would die? And he just got paralyzed with fear. And then he said, I stopped, and I said, fear, be gone with you. And he says in the book, the very thought that came here is, in his mind, fear has no business here. I thought that was just so beautiful. It has no business here. And he was absolutely right. If we keep looking at all those things that hold us back, there's an infinite number of them, often with good reason to be afraid or to feel that we want to hold on to power. What else is wisdom if not to keep that which is mine? Even Arjuna had to say, I don't want to do this. Really, this is hard. Fear has no business here. And we have to keep moving forward with that. And then we come to that place where we realize, we feel it deep inside. There is something else. I know it. I feel it. We feel that, what Swami calls a divine urge. In the festival, he wrote, and a prayer goes up in wordless yearning. We're yearning for something else. We know something's missing. It's a feeling that comes to mind when you're trying to put this incredibly complicated puzzle together. And you can't get it. And then you realize there's a few pieces missing. And no matter where you look, you can't find the pieces. And you know the puzzle will never be complete. It can't be. Something's missing. And when our yearning and longing gets that intense, our guru appears. Right then. exactly at the right moment, and only then. Swamiji told this wonderful story of giving a lecture in a big hall, and he heard this story later, and he was saying just this: your guru comes to you right at the right moment, when you're not just ready, he knows when you're ready, when you're willing, when you're hungry, when you're ready to say, fear has no business here. And he says, you don't have to think about it. You don't have to be trying to kill the ego. We can't kill the ego. It would be ridiculous of us. It would take away all of our opportunities for growth. That is the blessing of the human life. That's it. And even the angels say, great saints choose to be born on earth again, because it's such a fertile ground for spiritual growth. This is the truth. In the astral worlds, they say the harmony is so great. People lose their incentive, souls lose their incentive to grow. So they choose to be born. Look at this beautiful opportunity we were given. But Swamiji is in the middle of this talk, and he says, and at exactly the right moment, and there was a man sitting in the back who had been wondering and searching, who is his guru? Again, true story told by Swamiji. He felt drawn to Satya Sai Baba, but he wasn't sure. Just as Swamiji says those words, a picture falls off the wall, lands face up in this man's lap, and it's Satya Sai Baba. You see, when we're looking and we're ready, the guru finds us. We just have to do that hard work. Yes, it's hard. And how do we do it? We do all of the practices that we're given. I love that affirmation today. We find our power. We use it for the right reason. We serve others. There is nothing that will take us further down this path than serving others with right-mindedness, for the right reason, to be serving on a spiritual path, to be helping people grow, which is very much like what Moses did, taking the Jews. He served them and he served them. They were enslaved. He took them when they were wandering in the wilderness. He got them through the Red Sea. But when it came time to cross the Jordan River, he wasn't allowed to cross. He represented the ego that could take them so far, but it was with right attitude. That's what we need to have. We need to say, yes, this is where I'm going. And we start seeing God in everyone, and we see God in everything, and we work hard at doing that. And we feel the blessing of this life we were given, which came to me by God's grace last night, not because I was thinking, gee, I better remember. And we hold on to that, and we do that as much as we can. We don't kill the ego, but we do everything in the world we can to transcend it. Just like Master said, somewhere here, then I, the infinite sea, watch the little ego floating in me.